So why are you and I on this earth? People give us different answers to that. Some say the whole purpose is you just want to make as much money as you possibly can. Gain as many possessions as you can. After all, he who dies with the most toys wins. Others will say, no, 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 what we're on this earth is we want to gain some fame. We want to gain some popularity so people remember who we are when we die. Others say, no, what we need is power. We need some control of people, control in this world, and that's what it's all about. And still there's others that say, you know, the only reason that we're on this earth is simply to reproduce so that this world can continue to go on. Atheist Richard Dawkins says that. Richard Dawkins writes this. He says, we're protein robots controlled by our genes. Our only purpose in life, he says, is to create as many copies of these genes as possible to ensure the continuum. In other words, we're simply slaves to reproduction, and that it's a continuous, meaningless cycle that we are in this world, and we're just part of this cycle. You know, we have children, they have children, they have children, we die, they die, and it goes on. It's sort of the circle of life, and that's just what it is. That's all there is, according to Dawkins. Now, there's an atheist on that website that disagrees with Dawkins a little bit. He says this. He says, there's no reason pondering over the pointless purpose of life, which he agrees that life is pointless. But he goes on to say this, this atheist. He says, give life your own purpose. Live the way you want to live, and that is liberating, he says. I'm not sure how liberating that is. If we can live life the way we want to live and nobody else, who cares about anybody else? I would just want to live myself. The problem with self-centered living and self-absorption and narcissistic living ends up really also pointless in the end. So why are we on this earth? Jesus says, there is a point why we're on this earth. There is a reason that we're on this earth. And you and I are on this earth for two things. Jesus says we're here to serve God, and we're here to serve one another. That's why we're on this earth, to serve one another. Because we are created in the image of God, and God says we're important because he is our creator. And if there's someone who came to demonstrate what it meant to serve on this earth, it was Jesus. Here was God from eternity who had all the reason, the power in the world to do what he wanted to. But what did Jesus do? Jesus said he did not come to this earth to be served. He said, I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to this earth to serve. In fact, he speaks of this in our lesson for today from John chapter 13, where Jesus had just washed the feet of his disciples, which was the lowest of low servanthood. Nobody wanted to wash anybody's feet. That was like the worst of all in terms of on the totem pole at the bottom. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And you will be blessed. You will be blessed, Jesus said, if you do this. Here you have Jesus, the creator of the universe, God from eternity, coming into this world and not only washing the feet of his disciples, then he goes to the cross and dies for their sins, dies for our sins, dies for the sins of the world, then rises from the dead, calls us to repent of our sinful ways and to come back to him and to follow him and to serve one another in our lives. There is nothing more liberating in life than to get away from our narcissistic, selfish thinking and our little pity parties that we go through on a more than routine basis and to say, no, I'm here not to worry about me. I'm here to serve others. And there's nothing better that is liberating for us than to help someone that's in need in the name of Jesus. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about this. Peter writes this. It's on your on the screen there. The end of all things is near. Now, certainly he's talking about that Jesus' return is always imminent. But quite frankly, when you and I die, that's our last day on this earth. And we go into eternity and we stand before our Maker. The last day is a formalized gathering. So the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Some real practical things of service. He's saying, clear your mind of all the stuff in the news and all the stuff going around you. Go to a quiet place and talk to me. I am listening to you. I know what's going on. Then he says, above all, I think those are very important words. Above all, he says, love, and the Greek word is agape. This is a sacrificial service love. Love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. There are people that have sinned against us. Peter says, just love them. Love them anyway. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Are they coming over? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Here we got the word stewards, stewardship. Because a steward is simply, God has given us stuff to use, and we are to use it to his glory. Peter goes on, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. So when we serve, we are to be driven by how Jesus would talk and how God would want us to talk to each other. Peter says, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's what stewardship is all about. It's about others. It's about serving others in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to do this service right now. There's a little poem that was written by a missionary to China in the 19th century. The poem sometimes appears in little cards. It's only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's true. We only have one life. And what we do for Christ, that's going to last. When we serve someone in Jesus' name and we share Christ with them and his love for us and we share Christ, that can bring people into eternity. That is going to last. What we do in the name of Jesus, that goes on into eternity. There's no greater liberation, no greater experience that we have in life than to serve and to love one another in Christ's name. And we can do it right now, and we can do it for all people. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, he says this, as we have opportunity, do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith. So there's no one that we cannot serve. Everybody is someone that we can serve. And especially those of our faith, Paul says, help them out especially. But serve everybody. So it isn't that we're running out of people to serve. That's not a problem. The Scriptures goes on to tell us that what we need to do is identify our gifts. What are the gifts that we have? And sometimes, as you get older, you start to figure out what they are, and you also figure out what they aren't, which is also important to know what we don't do well. You get somebody else to do that. You do what you do well. But when you're younger, you don't always know all your skills. I remember a young person saying, well, I've never taught before. I don't think I can teach anybody. And we said, no, let's give it a try. And they went and they taught Sunday school. It was the best thing they said they ever had in their life. So we have to experiment with areas of service, and we'll find out. So your skills may be in engineering, your skills may be in the medical world, it might be in economics, accounting, your skills might be in music, it may be in cooking, it might be in custodial work. There's all different skills that we have, and all of them are needed, and we need to identify those skills. What has God given us? What skills has God given us? In addition to that, God also gives us spiritual gifts. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gifts. And these are some in Romans. One is, you may have the gift to interpret the scripture, that you read the Bible and you're able to understand the contents and explain it to people. And some of you can teach clearly. Some have the skill to encourage one another. You may want a different skill, but no, figure out the skill you have and use that. You may be a person that's generous. It's just the way you are. You're a generous person. You may have the ability to govern. In other words, you're in a situation where it's chaos, and God has given you a skill to put some order to this thing together. Use that skill to God's glory, no matter where it is. Showing mercy. You may know those people that you want to talk to. When you need someone to forgive you and to be kind to you, you look for those people, a person that shows mercy. You may have the ability to heal, and I mean also of soul, and not just body. But when you heal the soul, your body gets healed too. And to serve, some people just are into a service skill. So God gives different spiritual gifts as well as our physical gifts, and all of them are used to the glory of God. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to ask you to think about this. And I'm going to bring a microphone among you, and I'm going to ask you to think about, name some specific ways that we can use our skills. And it doesn't have to be specifically your particular skill, but ways that we can use our skill to serve people outside and inside the chapel. One example I'll just give you. Some years ago, I was in a service club, and there were some medical doctors. They performed eye surgery, specifically cataract surgery. And 2 weeks of the year, they'd go over to India, and they'd go to these poor areas that they knew of, and they just performed free of charge cataract surgery. Now, if you've ever had cataracts, and by the way, statistics say most of you will if you get old, I've had that surgery, and it's a miracle of seeing again. I mean, you're really going blind, and it's like an incredible. So these doctors would go over, and that's what they would do. How many of them did it in the name of Jesus, I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me that some of them did. So I'm asking you now to think about some ways that we can use our skills, be it large like that, or might be small, like opening a door. So I'm going to ask you now, what are some ways that we can serve people outside the chapel as well as inside the chapel? So anybody, just raise your hand.
If you have the skill of speaking the English language fluently, we could use your help at the chapel. A lot of the international students that we reach out to are interested in having conversation partners to practice their English language skills with. It'd be a good opportunity for you to make a new friend, too. Just talk to Carol Trapp.
That's a great ad. Yeah, really, all you need to do is speak English. You just need to speak it slower and try to understand what the person's saying to you, and you'll be their friend for life because they're looking to learn English. That's a great way to use your skill. So if you speak English, you can do something. Anybody else have any thoughts? Ways we can serve? I like the exercise. I haven't got much this last week, so
it's good. Back and forth. I think even if you just have the gift of time and the skill of patience, you can spend time with people who maybe could use an hour of conversation with someone or just someone to listen.
Yeah, somebody might be just lonely, want to talk. That's a wonderful, isn't that profound?
I would say even just our physical strength and ability to move objects, like, for instance, moving furniture for handicapped or elderly, or even set up and tear down of community events.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And there's lots of need out there in that area. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Yeah, if you have the gift of some additional spare time, There are many volunteer opportunities here at the chapel which you could plug into. I know one day a week I'm at the registration, the reception desk, and it's really kind of an enjoyable opportunity, meeting and greeting the folks that come through and just getting to know them a bit.
Thank you. Larry's one of our reception guys. He's got a nice smile on his face.
I'll piggyback on Steve Ludwig's. I'm Carol Trapp, so I'm looking for the conversation partners, but maybe you don't really like to talk that much, but you really are good at grammar. I also have some students looking for help with grammar and writing better in English, so let me know if you can do that. And then somebody over there talked about spending time with people who are a little bit lonely. If any of you are interested in doing things like, hey, you can't find anybody to play euchre with, we can find people. There's tons of people at these assisted living places and so forth. If you would be willing to volunteer and just play cards or games or paint fingernails for the ladies or whatever you like to do, they are so excited to have young people especially, but anybody show up and spend time with them.
Anybody else? The wonderful thing is that everybody can serve. You all have a skill. And sometimes those skills change as you get older. Things you did in the past you can't do. But maybe there are some openings now that when you get older you can serve too. So we can all serve. If you look at the next slide there, Peter writes, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Real simple. Just figure out your skills, and it might be just talking to somebody that's lonely. Use those skills to serve others, and do it in Jesus' name. I'm always impressed by Matthew 25, where Jesus said, if you give a small child a cup of water, you're really giving it to me, Jesus says. Jesus said, if you visit someone in prison, you're really visiting me. If you give someone a coat that needs a coat, you're giving it to me. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 25. So it isn't real, always profound, big stuff. It's little things in life where God can use us, and we are blessed by that. Jesus said you will be blessed by washing the feet, in a sense, of people, by serving them, even doing the lowest, if you will, of low things. At the chapel here, I get, I don't know how many notes, from students that come and study here, neighborhood students, that appreciate this building, that come and they feel welcome. I had a couple years ago a guy write and said, I'm atheistic, but this is a nice church. Now, that doesn't mean we've compromised in the existence of God. Obviously, he's simply saying that he felt welcome here even though he didn't believe in God, but it opens a door for us to talk to him about God. God blesses wherever you serve. He blesses us in so many different ways. What I'd like to do is I'd like to close my message now with three illustrations of why we are on this earth. And I need three volunteers to do that. I had the musicians last time. Three volunteers? You want to come do this? All right, come on up. All right. Would you like to come up? Yeah, come on. Just get a come. Oh, you have to. Well, that's fine. You're young. You won't get hurt. And you just stand here and stand right here. That's great. And you're here. Anybody else want to volunteer? Another young one. Okay, come on up. Is that a brother? All right. So we got young people here, really young people. Future college students, two of these. All right. So this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take your arms and cross them like that. So the question is, how does God want to see you? Does he want to see you like that? Go like that. Does God want to see you like that? I'm not going to do anything for anybody. Or does God want to see you like this? Now you have to put your arm out like this. And I'm going to put a towel, just like, remember Jesus used the towel? Before he washed the feet of his, there we go. He looked like a servant there. Here we go, another one. And a third one. That's good. So you hold those towels out like, I'm willing to serve you, like a butler or whatever. There we go. This is the picture that God wants to see, right? I'm willing to serve. Okay. Now my second one, I've got a, they're a good job. I've got some dollar bills here. And I'd like you to each take $1 bill. And I want you to take the dollar bill and hold it up to your chest here and say, you know, I'm not going to give that to anybody. All right, look like kind of me now. That's it. By the way, the first one, the passage that Jesus said is that we are to wash one another's feet as he has washed us. So this one is you hold that dollar bill. Now, does God want us to look that way? Or hold the dollar out. Go ahead and hold it out like you're going to give it to somebody. Where we find the Bible tells us, if you could have the next verse up there, God loves a cheerful giver. So smile, as if you're giving that money away willingly, smile. So this God loves a cheerful giver. That's what he wants, not a reluctant giver. Now I'd like you to take the same dollar and hold it in your hand, put your palms up like this, and go like this, gimme, 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 gimme. Yeah, give me some more money, okay? Does God want us to see, is that what God wants to see from us? Gimme, gimme, gimme. Or put that dollar in the palm of your hand and hold it out. That Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So you're welcome to have that dollar. And if you want to give it to somebody, go ahead and there you go. You're doing it already. So why don't we give him a hand? Go ahead. Thank you very much. Okay, we have some homework for you, if you'd like to take some homework home. One is, think of to commit a random act of kindness. Of somebody you know, or maybe somebody you don't know. Maybe you're walking down the street, and you're in the parking lot across the street, because today they're free, but the parking lot is not across the street, and you see somebody trying to find some money, and just give them some money, or whatever. Think of some random act of kindness, even opening a door for people. That's kind of freaky, like, wow, somebody actually opened the door for me. So think of some random acts of kindness you want to do for people you know or don't know. And also discuss among your friends, go back to number two, Galatians 6:10, do good to all, especially to God's people. Think of some acts of service specifically that you maybe want to carry out this week. And if you like to read, there's a nice book called How to Be Rich by Andy Stanley. It's really talking about how to be rich in our own lives by being generous. Well done book. So now what I'd like you to do to close the message is I'd like all of you to talk about a time that you were served, be it small or large, and how it made a difference for you. Maybe even somebody opened the door for you and it's like, yeah, it just made you feel good for a moment. Talk about a time when you were served. Maybe it was a time you were ill. Maybe it was a time that you were lonely. Maybe you when you first came to the university, you didn't know anybody and somebody befriended you. Talk about a time in your life that you were served and it made a difference for you. I'd like you to stand up now and just talk to the people around you and discuss that. But I'd like to have this prayer. Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you for those who have served us, who have cared for us. And above all, we thank you, Lord, for you serving us, giving your life for us sinners, living a holy life in our place, and dying for us, and coming out of the grave. Lord, you have given us meaning in life, that we are here now to serve one another as you have served and loved us. We thank you for that privilege and honor, and we bring this in your name. Amen.